chapter 3, in verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. In other words, the deeds of the law would be the work, what you keeping the law. You can't be justified in God's sight by doing the law. You say, well, I can keep it. You can't be justified. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. In other words, the law is what magnifies and shows you what sin is. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely, no deeds involved, no works involved, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Now that verse there in 26, that He might be just and the justifier, is very significant, because God has to justify you as a sinner and yet keep Himself just. If He just let you go, or if He didn't require no payment for your crimes, for you breaking that law, and He just simply wiped the slate clean, as it was, and let everybody in like the world thinks He does, and He wouldn't be a just God. I'll use Joel for an illustration. He won't mind, but he's Debbie, Andy here, he's in law enforcement. Greg, all these guys, they go out and they keep and they are law enforcers. And Romans 13 calls them the ministers of God. And so they go out and they find somebody that's breaking the law. They're a real bad dude. They got the evidence, they bring them in before a judge. The evidence is there, overwhelming. No doubt about it. And the judge says, I'm clearing the case. Wipe it out, get it out, throws it out of the court, won't hear it, finds them innocent. Would you say that's a crooked judge? I would. That would not be a just judge. I mean, the evidence is there. The man is guilty. No doubt about it. And the judge declares him innocent. That's an unjust judge. Folks, God has to keep Himself just, and yet on the other side, justify those that are guilty. How's He going to do that? Through the death of His Son. We preach that salvation is free. And it is to you and me. But it wasn't free to God. We preach that salvation doesn't cost us a thing. And it doesn't. But it costed Jesus Christ something. Your sins was paid for, not by you, the crimes that you committed against God, and the law says you're guilty. By the law is the knowledge of sin, and the law brings you in here, and the law is the prosecuting attorney, and he looks at you and says, you're guilty. Here's the law. Here's what you've done. And God, a just judge, he's got to punish you. He's got to punish the crimes that was made. And yet he wants to justify you. How can he be just and the justifier at the same time? He gave himself. He delivered his son up to pay for your crimes so that therein is the righteousness of God revealed. God Almighty paid for your sins. And He can be just in saying, I forgive you. And nobody can say that's a crooked judge. Why? The crimes was paid for. He's not just simply wiping the slate clean without somebody paying for those things. Now look at this thing, and I want to talk to you about righteousness. Righteousness, it means just. It means right. It means straight. There's nothing crooked in it. Straight. Look at an illustration. Turn back to Amos, in the book of Amos in the Old Testament. Now you'll go back and you keep going. You'll find Habakkuk, Jonah, and Obadiah. You'll come to Amos. You go on the left. Zechariah, just back up there. Just keep going to the left. Amos, and look in chapter 7 of the book of Amos. And we'll come back to Romans, but look in Amos. Notice in verse 7, you want to see a picture of righteousness? Thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. Verse 8, Amos 7, 8, and the Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a plumb line. Then said the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not again pass by them anymore. Now you know what a plumb line is. It's a weight that's tied on the end of a string. And they let that thing fall, and that string is perfectly straight. Gravity pulls it down, and they put it on the end to make sure the wall is straight. No crookedness in it. Do you know who the plumb line is? Jesus Christ is the plumb line. Jesus Christ is God's plumb line. And you think you're straight? If you want to see straight, look at Him. Righteousness is straightness. It's no crookedness in it. Righteousness is just. It's as a man says, just as I've never sinned. Righteousness. Notice this thing about, look at your righteousness compared to His righteousness. Now there's no crookedness in Jesus Christ. There's nothing that, no, He's just. He is the just. Look at your righteousness. Turn back to, let's go to Romans. If you're in Romans, go to chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Verse 10, Romans chapter 3, verse 10. As it is written, there is none what? Righteousness, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Look back with me in, let's go to Ecclesiastes. And notice in Ecclesiastes, that's right after Proverbs, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Notice in verse, in chapter 7, Verse 20, your righteousness. Well, I didn't read to you in Romans. Paul said, there is none that's righteous. Verse 20 says, there's not a just man upon the earth, that doeth good and what? Now tell me something. You hear these people talking about they live above sin, they don't sin. Now somebody's told a fib there. Either the scripture is wrong or they're wrong. Now who are you going to believe? Turn with me, look at Isaiah. Isaiah, just turn over a few books. And notice in Isaiah, in chapter 64, Isaiah 64. Righteousness, straightness, crooked, no crookedness in it. Notice in Isaiah 64, verse 6. But we are all as an unclean thing. Boy, that cover all is, how many is that? But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. In other words, because of sin, you're going to die. The wages of sin is death. All of our righteousness is as filthy rags. And believe me, them rags in the Hebrew is a stench. Look in, you're right there, just turn over to Jeremiah. Jeremiah. And notice in chapter, I'm just going, verse 17. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You know, you hear people say, well, if I know my heart. Well, you don't. And your heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins of the heart, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. Your heart is not righteous. Your heart is unrighteous. It's deceitful above all things. Iron righteousness is filthy rags. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. We're all as uncleanness. Folks, there's none that doeth righteousness. There's none, no righteousness. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. How in the world can God Almighty look at us and forgive us? Well, on the basis of our works, He can. Now notice something about this righteousness. Look, I should have told you to hang on. Back in Isaiah, you was there at 64. Turn back there again and look in 61. Isaiah. You want to... I see 61. Verse 10. Isaiah 61, verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. Now watch it. And He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. And as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. Then you'll find that He clothed me. He's talking to the nation Israel. But yet we have the garments of salvation ourselves. You know what Paul said that we're to do? The Bible said to put on the whole armor of God. You know what one of those armors are? It's the breastplate of what? Righteousness. This righteousness that we have is imputed. Look back in Romans in chapter 4. In Romans chapter 4, verse 6. Romans 4, 6. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. What is imputed? God does not impart righteousness to you. God has not imparted you His righteousness and you live without sin. God imputed righteousness to you. What is it to impute it? It's to put it to your account. This righteousness is put to our account. This righteousness comes on them. Look back with me in chapter 3, verse 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that what? Believe. How do you get this righteousness? How do you get it put to your account? By believing. Amen? Look in chapter 4, verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So here's the whole thing, folks. I have imputed righteousness to me. I have righteousness put to my account. God does not see my unrighteousness. He does not see my filthy rags of my flesh that clothe me. He sees me in the garments of salvation that He provided for me. And it's imputed to me. I am righteous in His sight, not by my own righteousness, but by His righteousness. Boy, that's a good blessing. You know that? How does God look at you and still be just? Through His Son. It all is based upon the Lord Jesus Christ. This righteousness, how do you get it? You believe it. And which you believe in Jesus. Well, what do you believe about Him? You believe Him as your Lord and Savior. Notice in 1 Timothy. Chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, notice in verse 10. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of what? All men. Especially to those that believe. You know the problem with the world today and the problem with anybody in here that's lost? The problem is not your sins. The problem is your unbelief. The reason why, if there's a person in this building today and you're not saved, it's because you have refused to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and receive Him as your Lord and Savior. It's unbelief. God is the Savior of all men. How is He the Savior of all men? Well, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever what? Believeth should not perish, but have eternal life. In AD 33, Jesus Christ went to that cross. And He died on that cross. He had no sin to die for. The wages of sin is death. Jesus Christ had no sin. There was no sin about Him. There was no guile found in His mouth. He never had any impure thought. He had the nature of God in Him. He honored the Father everywhere He went. He was perfect. He was sinless Son of Almighty God. Born of a virgin. On and on you go. Why in the world would death grip Him? He had nothing to pay. There was no wage for Him to pay. The wages of sin is death. But He died anyway. He's paying for your sins. Don't you understand? Your sins brought about His death. And God, I'll stand in the dispensation of grace over here God Almighty dealing with grace. And I stand there and I was coming to this world. One of these days I'm going out of this world. I hope I go by the clouds instead of the clods. But I might end up going by the grave. I don't know. I believe the Lord's a-coming. I believe it's nearer than we was when we first believed, so I know He's coming. I look at the world situation, I read this Bible, I see what's going on in the world, I read what this Bible says about the last days. Folks, we're in them. No doubt about it, we're in them. And I realize that one of these days, this body of grace, this body of believers, is going to be took out of this world, and then the man of sin will be revealed, the son of perdition, and he's going to come on the scene, and there's time of Jacob's trouble over here, the tribulation. But nevertheless, God Almighty saw I was here, and in that I knew I would believe on His Son, and I looked back at that cross, I realized He died for my sins, I trust that as my salvation, I receive Him as my Savior, I believe that He died for me, He's my Savior, you understand? And folks, I'm saved by the death of His Son. People don't believe that. Do you realize in the religious systems of the world today, preaching like God has preached, which we think is simple, is offensive to people? They don't want to hear that they're no good. They want to hear how to be a better you. They want to hear positive sermons. They don't want to hear that there's a literal burning hell. They want to be like, I heard a guy on a television say that Europe was the model country that we ought to be like. You know why he's saying that? He goes on to say the problem in this country is religion. No. Well, the religion is the problem. What the religious people need is salvation. They don't want to hear about Jesus Christ dying for them. That's how it is. That's what you believe. Look in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, this righteousness. God is the Savior of all men. He died for the world. And the world, He was on that cross. He's dying for all men. All men, He went to that cross. He's the Savior of all men. It don't matter what color their skin is, what nationality they are. He died for all men. And He's the Savior of all men. He will save them to the uttermost that come to Him. But the problem is, they won't believe it. And until you believe and receive, He ain't going to save you either. You can sit under this preaching and hear the gospel. From now to the Lord comes over here and end up going and believing the lie of the Antichrist and end up in the lake of fire hearing the gospel of the Lord because you have never received Him. You know about Him. You know that He went to that cross and you died and you say, oh, I believe that. But you believe it without a cause. What is the cause of believing that He died on a cross for me? Why do I need to believe that? I got to have a cause to believe that. I guarantee you I can say how many believe that George Washington was the first president of the United States. You'd all raise your hand, wouldn't you? You do believe he was, don't you? Have you ever talked to him? Did he ever tell you that? You ever seen George in person? Well, how do you know he was the first president? Was you living back then? You believe some writings. You believe somebody that wrote something said he was, so you believe it. You don't have a cause to believe it. You just believe it. That's the way people look at the gospel. That's the way they look at the Bible. I don't know. I just believe it. I believe it. What is the cause of believing that Jesus Christ died for your sins? You believe the historical facts? You believe that Jesus was born? Yeah, I believe he was. You believe he went to a cross? Yeah, I believe he died on the cross. You believe he was buried? Yeah, I believe he was buried. You believe he was resurrected? A lot of them said, well, you know, let's don't carry it too far. But I believe it. And you can believe them. But that doesn't save you. You've got to believe them with a cause. In fact, hang on to Romans there and look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we're going to Romans 1, but look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 2, by which, let's read verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved. If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. There are thousands of people that believe, but they believe in vain. They believe without a cause. They just believe. They've heard it all their life. They've sat under preaching and heard it. And they believe it with no real cause. What is the cause of believing that Jesus Christ died for on the cross? Because the cause is that's the only way I can have eternal life. The cause is I'm a sinner. And I have to have my sins paid for, and I can't pay for them. The cause is I realize I'm lost. I realize I'm a sinner, and I'm going to hell, and my only hope is His death. I receive that to have salvation. Now I want to ask you something. Have you believed in vain? When? The next point, when? Did you, as a sinner, look at the cross and believe that He died for me? I'm a sinner and I'm trusting that as my salvation. I'm putting my trust in Him. You ever done that? You know what it is to call upon the name of the Lord, thou shalt be saved? Why would you call upon Him if you didn't believe it? Somewhere in your lifetime, you as a sinner, you came and you come as a sinner. I'm hopelessly lost. I need salvation. And the best you knew how, the best you could do, you just said, Lord, here I am. Lord, save me. You ever done that? Something had to put you to that point. Well, I asked a woman one time how long she'd been saved. She said, all my life. I said, there's never been a day in my life I hadn't been a Christian. You know what I told her? You've been one too long. There's got to be. Jesus Christ said He came to seek and to save that which was lost. You know, the first thing before God will save a person is they got to realize they're lost. And you need some help. Righteousness. You're not righteous
without the righteousness of God. How do I get the righteousness of God? By believing in Jesus. And believing on Jesus. Believing what? That He died for me. That He went to that cross and was buried and God raised Him the third day. Don't you understand? That's good news to somebody that's looking for good news. When did the gospel become good news to you? When you was a sinner. Righteousness comes on those that believe. And believes what? The gospel. Look back in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, the verse 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." The gospel is the power of God. We have the work of righteousness. Look back in Isaiah chapter 32. Isaiah 32, the work of righteousness. If you have righteousness, His righteousness, this is what it is. Look in verse 17. Paul used Old Testament scriptures to get across a point. That's what I'm doing. Folks, it works the same. Look what he said in verse Isaiah 32, verse 17. "And the work of righteousness shall be" what? Do you know something? If you have His righteousness, you've got peace. You have peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And that peace passes all understanding. When I trusted Christ as my Savior, I didn't know nothing. But I knew I was lost. And I knew I wanted to be saved. And when I got down, I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know what to pray. I prayed the best I knew how. I just simply said, "I'm lost, Lord. I want to be saved. God, will You save me? I know You died for me. And I believe that. Save me." And I want to tell you, that night, I left that hotel room. I had peace. And folks, I've had it ever since. It's just something in there. You can't describe it. You can't put it in a test tube and test it. It's just something there. You know you're saved by the death of Jesus Christ. And all the world crumbling around you and everything piling in on you, you can look down deep inside, "Thank God I'm saved." It's just something there. The work of righteousness shall be peace. Look at the effect of righteousness in that verse. And the effect of righteousness is quietness. And what's that next word? Assurance. How long? Huh? Forever. Folks, I want to tell you, there's quietness inside a believer in salvation. Look at the contrast. Hang on there to Isaiah 32. Turn over to Isaiah 57. In Isaiah 57, notice in verse 20. In Isaiah 57, verse 20. "But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, unto the wicked." I look up back in verse 48, chapter 48, Isaiah 48. In Isaiah 48, verse 22, "There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked." There's no quietness. The wicked are like the troubled sea. It's always churning up old filth and mire, trying to purge itself. Always in a turmoil. Some of you in here, you're always in a turmoil deep down inside. You don't have peace. You don't have quietness. You don't have assurance. Why? You're looking at your life and you said, when did I ever call upon the Lord? When did I ever come to Him for salvation? And you come up zero. Don't do that. One of these days it could be your last. Thank God we have His righteousness, quietness, assurance. The end result. You'll see the end result of His righteousness. Look in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. And take Romans chapter 8. Ephesians chapter 1, Romans chapter 8. Notice in Romans chapter 8 first. In verse 28, Romans 8, 28. For we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate, predetermine something about you. He predetermined you to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. What is the end result of His righteousness that He's imputed unto you? Someday you'll be conformed to the image of His Son. Now you gotta think about that. That's just not looking like Him. That's just not having a body sort of like Him. Conform to the image of His Son. You're going to be a son of God. Do you not understand that? You are a son of God right now by creation. Your new man inside is a creation of God. You are a son of God. But one day you're going to have a body that's going with that new creation. And you're going to be completely the son of Almighty God. Heirs with Christ. Heirs of God. Joint heirs with Christ. I don't think people get a grip on that. Just as Jesus Christ is, so will you be. I don't think people get it. No. Look in Ephesians chapter 1. According as He hath, verse 4, chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be what? Holy, without blame, before Him in love. Folks, that's our standing in Christ. Free from any condemnation. There is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. We are set apart in a new creation. And that new, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That new creation is His body in here. And He saved men by His grace and put them in this body, and it's called the body of Christ. This is a mystery hid in God from the foundation of the world, and it's not revealed until it was revealed by Paul, our apostle. You don't find it back here in the Old Testament. You don't find it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You don't find it in the early part of Acts. You find it in the epistles of Paul. You don't find it in Hebrews through Revelation. It's a mystery, and that body is the righteousness of God. Why are you there in Ephesians? Look what he said. In Ephesians chapter 1, and have verse 22, and have put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head of over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. The fullness of Christ in that is that it's a body of righteousness. It's His body. He's clothed with His righteousness. Don't y'all get it? When you talk about put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're putting on the garments of salvation in this lost and dying world. They should see His righteousness, His gospel, His salvation, the helmet of salvation. They should see His armor. And someday, when we get a body like Him, we will be complete. as the Son of Almighty God. Righteousness. Now the question is, are you righteous? Not in your own self, but in His righteousness. You see, today God don't see me. He sees me in this new creation. This new creature up here. New creation. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Why is he a new creature? Because his flesh is changed? Because he one time cussed and got saved and he don't cuss no more? Or one time he had fleshly desires and get saved and he don't have them? No. God never done nothing to your flesh when he saved you. It's the same old cuss as it always was. And if you ain't careful, it'll drag you down. It's like a corpse. It's a dead. We reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. We're in a new creation. Spiritually, we're in the body. And God sees this righteous. Don't you understand? If you're in that body, He sees you righteous. But if you back here and you're still in old Adam back here, you know what it is? The only righteousness he has is his own self-righteousness. Now, which one are you in? You get in here by looking back and believing this. You can stay in here and end up in hell. All righty. If you're not saved, you want to talk, be happy to talk to you. The invitation, the ball's in your court. Don't leave out here and say, well, he never gave me an opportunity to get saved. I'm giving you one right now. You know something? God will receive you right where you're sitting right now if you'll trust what I just preached to you and trust that he died for you and receive him as your Savior. You don't need no invitation. You have it right now. Don't leave out of here lost. Somewhere, go to Him. I believe it, Lord. I am lost and I receive you right now. Do it right now. And He will receive you when you receive Him. All right. Shake hands with